Each of us have gifts given to us by God. And today, with the encouraging word teaching of Dr. Don Wilton, we'll discover how we can use them. This is the Encouraging Word broadcast with Dr. Don Wilton, well-known author, evangelist, pastor, and today as he dives into this topic, using your gifts for God, we'll head to Ephesians in just a moment, but Dr. Wilton wants you to know we're here to pray with you as well. You can reach us at 866-899-WORD. Many are using that number to also order the new book from Dr. Wilton or the Pray for Our Nation resource, 31 Days of Prayer for My Nation. You can take a peek at that on our website right now at tewonline.org. or call to order your copy. 866-899-9673 is the number, or online at tewonline.org. Now, today's great teaching with Dr. Don Wilton.
When God gave to us His church, He did some wonderful things for you and for me. He provided us with the means to be able to come everything that God wants us to be. And the church is a vital part of God's plan for mankind. I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to be looking at three passages of Scripture this morning as we consider the subject, using your gifts for God. Before we read here, let me say to you that there is a real sense in which, spiritually speaking, the church is like a buffet dinner. Now, some of you may wonder, how in the world can you find a parallel between the church and a buffet dinner? Well, if you want to go and eat some food and have a wide selection, go and enjoy a buffet. Because typically a buffet meal presents a whole variety of foods that a whole variety of people can select and choose from. And it's not that I'm calling some of you carrot sticks and others of you broccoli parts, but it is simply this, that if we want to grow physically, what happens is that during our lifetime, we eat food that builds our body physically up. And nutritionists will tell you that you need this and you need that, you need vitamin this and vitamin that, and you have all kinds of things that build up your body and make you what you are, so your teeth won't fall out and so you can see at night, and that you've got good bones, and on the list goes. And all of these components come together to make us healthy. The church, the Bible tells us, is God's means to enable us to become healthy. This church, as I believe it ought to be the case in all evangelical churches, has one program. If anybody says to you, what does First Baptist Church do? You can tell them one thing, that we are here to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. We have one program. But we have multiple ministries in order to enable us to reach people for Christ. Multiple ministries. And the ministries that we have in this church and all New Testament evangelical churches provides a buffet of nourishment for all people to partake of. There is something for everybody. And the way in which all the components function together in God's house is by virtue of the fact that everybody who is a part of this body contributes what they are able to contribute to enable the body to be the body God intends it to be. Some of us are this and some of us are that. Some of us are public and some of us are private. And I know that as I look around this congregation and as I think back over the tradition of this church, that the faithfulness of God's people have in essence been a major factor to the health of this church over the years. And I'm going to say to you again, beloved friends, that the health and the well-being of the community in we live is in direct proportion to the health and well-being of the local church. I believe that one of the reasons why Spartanburg, South Carolina is such a good, healthy community is because this church is blessed, this community is blessed with many churches in Spartanburg that are healthy, good bodies of Christ, functioning the way they are supposed to function. If you think about the churches in this community, that's the way God intended it to be. You have a weak church, you're going to have a weak community. You have a weak community, you're going to have a weak state. You have a weak state, you're going to have a weak nation. And when we talk about the United States of America falling apart morally, the way in which we correct these things is to go back to the local church. It's not going to be solved in a ballot box. It's going to be solved in the heartbeat of God's church. That's the way that God intended it to be, because we are the body of Christ. I'm going to say to you today, beloved friends, that the influence upon this community this week is going to be in direct proportion to the godly influence that we receive right now in God's house. We, as the scattered church, are going to take it from gathering together as the gathered church, and we are going to share this with those in the workplace and the marketplace of life. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. It was the Lord Jesus Christ who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers in order to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up in Him who is the head, that is Christ. For from Him the whole body, joined together and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. Here it is, as each part does its work. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Please turn there. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Listen to this. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. Here it is. In accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you. When we go back to Ephesians 4 and verse 7, what are we going to read? But to each one of us, grace has been given according to the measure that God has given to us. Romans chapter 12, verse 4, verse 3, in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given to you. Verse 4, just as each one has one body, with many members. Here it is. I've got a little finger, big finger, index finger. I've got a head, a body, legs, feet, toes, all these different components. Listen to me. Just as each one has a body with many members, so it is that these members do not all have the same function. So it is in Christ that we who are many, look around here today, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We all have different gifts according to the grace given us. There it is, coming back again. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ has apportioned it. Look at Romans chapter 12. Each member belongs to the other. We all have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to the exercise of his faith. If it is serving, let him serve deacons. If it is teaching, Sunday school, Life Institute, preschool, children, youth, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The next book in the New Testament follows the book of Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. Go to verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. And you can go on and read about the characterization of these different gifts. It seems to me that if we understand Ephesians chapter 4, that what God has done through the Apostle Paul is that he has categorized gifts into three areas. Here they are. There are those that are gifted to deal with situations. There are those, secondly, that are gifted to deal with sinners. And thirdly, there are those that are gifted to deal with saints. And all of us say, well, you've lost me on that last point, preacher, because I'm not a saint. I've got wonderful news for you this morning. Doesn't matter what your wife says. If you've given your heart to Jesus Christ, you're a saint, brother. You're now armed to the teeth. You can tell her that. You can say, I'm a saint. Do you know why? It's not because of anything that we are. It's because of everything that Christ Jesus is in us. That's what Jesus Christ does for us. He makes us brand new. There are those who are gifted to deal with situations. The Bible tells us that some were equipped to guide the church in ways it ought to go, the apostles. But there were also those who were equipped to guard the church in what it ought to know. Not just to guide the church in the way it ought to go, but to guard the church in what it ought to know. What we know is very important because what we know is going to govern how we live. If you have a weak theology, you're going to have a weak lifestyle. It is absolutely guaranteed. But secondly, there are those who are gifted to deal with sinners. They called evangelists here in Ephesians chapter 4. Our church has many people like that. Our community have many people like that. That God has placed a particular giftedness upon them. I think of Dr. Billy Graham, one of the most humble and gracious men in this world. God has blessed us so much through the ministry of his servant. There is no question about Dr. Graham's gift in evangelism. It is the hand of God placed upon his servant. It has nothing to do with his servant. It has everything to do with the God whom he serves. Our church has men and women who are particularly gifted to deal with situations. We have men and women who are particularly gifted to deal with sinners, of which we all are. And thirdly, we have those who are gifted to deal with saints. These fall into two categories here in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Those called to tend to the flock, they are the pastors, and those called to teach the flock, they are teachers. Now, friends, listen to me. All of these three categories are general categories in the Word of God. And under these categories come multiple ministries. This, if you please, is the one program of the church. The multiple division of ministries that God's Word talks about in Romans and in 1 Corinthians is the inestimable joy that God gives to us as members of the body of Christ to be able to serve Him. What does it mean when you use your gifts to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? I should imagine this morning that each one of us could think about somebody in this church, in the churches that we've grown up in, that has impacted our lives in a remarkable fashion. Might have been a Sunday school teacher, might have been an RA or GA leader, someone in missions, someone in some organization, somebody somewhere somehow has impacted our lives. Well, the Bible says that when God's people as the body of Christ pool their resources and every member plays his or her part, that there are five benefits that result. Let me give them to you quickly because they found right here in this great passage of Scripture. Number one, it enables others to be prepared for service. Look at verse 12. To prepare God's people for works of service. If I had a desire for my children, it would be as they grow up that they would become prepared to serve God. What a lofty goal for us to have as a church, that our children are going to grow up being prepared for works of service, that when they sit where you and I sit, that probably the driving point in their hearts and lives as believers is, Lord Jesus Christ, how can I serve you? Second, for the building up of the body. That's also found in verse 12. For the building up of the body. Here the Apostle Paul is talking about strength. Kratos, K-R-A-T-O-S, in the Greek text. He is building up strength. What Paul is saying here is, listen, when the members of the body of Christ function as the members of the body of Christ, and when every member of the body of Christ does his or her work, the result is that the body of Christ becomes strong, that we become strong, that we stand firm, that we're going to be able to stand up tall, that our children and our grandchildren are going to grow up as young people and ultimately as adults and leaders who are strong.
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton, our teacher here on The Encouraging Word. Please don't go away. He'll be back with the rest of today's message, using your gifts for God. But that powerful concept of not only how we become strong, but how we pass that along to our children and grandchildren. For me, as a relatively new grandparent, it's wonderful to see how God is using resources like we find at The Encouraging Word to help strengthen my relationship with my grandchildren as I try to pour into them the love of God's Word, God's Encouraging Word. If you haven't been to our website lately, drop by. TEWonline.org is the address. That's TEWonline.org. We'd love to connect you with those resources, including the Daily Encouraging Word Bible Guide. You can have a hard copy we send out every quarter, or sign up for it online today and begin receiving it within the next 24 to 48 hours online at TEWonline.org. That's TEWonline.org. Now back to today's great teaching with Dr. Don Wilton.
But there's a third component or benefit: unity in the faith. Verse 13. Until we all reach unity in the faith. It has been said in Scripture many times, from Genesis to Revelation, that if there is any method or approach that Satan would utilize to destroy a nation, it would be to divide a nation, cause people to become separated. If Satan wants to destroy a church, he will upset the unity of the body. Here's what happens. When all the members of the body of Christ, whether they be a little finger or a big finger, when all the members of the body of Christ each do their part, what happens? From him who is the head, the whole body is held together by every supporting ligament, according to what the Apostle Paul tells us in verse 16 of chapter 4. Unity in the faith, but there's a fourth one: knowledge of Jesus. Knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. You know, we spend a lot of time going to school and studying our A, B's and C's. Pythagoras' theorem, joining dots together, wondering what in the world it's all about, eventually qualifying to become engineers and teachers and doctors and lawyers and all the other things in between. But there is nothing that supersedes the importance of being able to come to grips with the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing who He is. Paul put it like this. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is a fifth point, and that is maturity. That's a wonderful expression there in verse 13. And we become mature. What does it mean to become mature in Christ? It means that we have attained the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. You know, one of the joys that I have as a pastor is meeting men and women in this congregation who have attained the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Have you ever met somebody who, spiritually speaking, you look at them and you say, those people there are so mature spiritually. They have come to grips and are growing in coming to grips with the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And the Bible says, my friends, that when the body of Christ functions together, each playing its part, that what we do for others by giving our gifts to God is we enable others to prepare for service, to be built up and strengthened in the body, to be unified in the faith, to exercise a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to grow to full maturity in Him. What does this do for us? What does it mean to us? Verse 14 through 16, Paul tells us about it. Number one, it means that we will stand firm. Look at verse 14. Then we will no longer be as infants tossed to and fro by all the deceitful scheming. You know, our young people, over 70 or 80 of them as we speak right now, are up in the mountains at a youth camp. I want you to know that as your pastor, if there is one thing that I pray for our young people, it's that when they graduate from high school and they go on to college, that they are going to be able to stand firm. Do you know, folks, that there are many young people who grow up inside the church, and when they go off to college, you cannot find them spiritually. Those winds come along, the deceit, the scheming of mankind, all the philosophies, the mocking, the peer pressure, and all these things begin to waft in and move over, and all of a sudden you turn around and your children are nowhere spiritually. The Bible says, my friends, when the body of Christ functions together as God intended us to be, we are enabled to stand firm. Second, means that we will grow in Him. I love this maturational, physiological, spiritual growth that Paul keeps coming back to. He talks about it in verse 15. He says, we're going to grow up in Him who is the head, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. But then finally, but not conclusively, it means that we're going to be able to function properly. Look at verse 16. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. It's like a football team, I guess. Steve, I appreciated your mysterious analogy about two mysterious teams that played this past week, and it was so apropos. There's nothing more wonderful than going to watch a ball game. You know, the strength of a ball team is determined by its ability to function properly. All you need is one of those players not to do what he is supposed to do in the context of his function, and you've got a touchdown, or you've got points scored against you. A team that functions is a team that comes together in accordance with its purpose. There is an understanding. They know exactly what the plays are. They know where they're going, what they're doing, and what they are supposed to be and to do.
As we've heard from God's Word today and the teaching of Dr. Don Wilton, there is a team ready to respond to you as well. You are not built to do this alone. The body of Christ, the community of the church, is an important part of who we are in this ministry. It's not just your church, my church, the church you just drove by, but our responsibility as a part of the body is to encourage one another. And we'd love to pray with you and for you. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. Jot the number down, store it in your cell. It's 866-899-9673, or meet us online at tewonline.org. Now, you've heard the pastor as he's been preaching from the pulpit, but now as he steps into the studio, why don't you open your heart to what he wants to share from his heart?
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm so happy to hear that. Why don't you pray this prayer with me today? Dear God, I know that you love me very, very much. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on a cross so that I might be forgiven of my sin. Today, I repent of my sin. I confess my sin to you. And I invite you to come into my heart and into my life by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. If you've prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to welcome you to the family of God. This is wonderful. I hope that you know how much I'm going to be praying for you and how very important this is for me. Call us so that we can talk to you and connect you in the right place so you can begin this wonderful journey And in just a moment, I'm going to come back with a final word.
If you just prayed along with a pastor to rededicate your life to Christ or to give your life to Christ for the first time, we have wonderful resources Dr. Don wants you to have absolutely free if you'll call us at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We'd love to pray with you, put some resources in your hands. Just know we're here for you at 866-899-9673 and online at tewonline.org, where you'll find great resources like this.
Our nation needs prayer more than ever. Our founding fathers understood that everything that we have and everything that we are is rooted in all that God is. And without Him, we're on our own. God has a very serious message for America. This month, for your gift of any amount to the Encouraging Word Broadcast Ministry, you will receive Dr. Wilton's powerful message, Free Indeed, along with the bonus book, 31 Days of Prayer for My Nation. This resource set will provide encouragement now and for the days ahead. You will have a renewed focus on the promise and power of prayer and for your freedom as an American. Call us at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673 to request Free Indeed and 31 Days of Prayer book. Thank you for supporting the Encouraging Word as we continue to proclaim the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ to a nation in desperate need of biblical truth.
Again, it's a powerful resource. You can see it on our website, tewonline.org, or call about getting your copy at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And before we get away, closing thoughts from our pastor and chief encourager, Dr. Don Wilton.
Well, here I am again. What a day this has been. You know, one of the things I want to say to you is let's stay connected. You know, we've got so many means to be able to do that. You can write to us, email us. You've got all the details right there in front of us. We're a family together. We stay connected in so many ways. And your life is very important to me. I see you there. And God shows me. And I want to be able to pray with you and connect with you and be a vital part of your relationship, your growth. Your needs are mine. I'm walking in your shoes. And I want to pray for you. Please don't stop. Call us, write us, keep praying, keep giving, keep connecting, keep rejoicing, keep celebrating, keep striving. God is on His throne. This is the Encouraging Word. And now you know why.
Our time's gone for today, but oh, let's stay connected. Between now and tomorrow, this week has wonderful messages from Ephesians and Romans. Tomorrow, as a matter of fact, in Ephesians, we're going to be hearing from Dr. Don about why we are so different. And we're going to celebrate those differences tomorrow on The Encouraging Word. I hope you'll join us. Invite a friend. Between now and then, stay connected on our website, tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. While you're there, sign up for the daily Encouraging Word email from Dr. Don, powerful insight from God's Word, and wonderful application. That's the daily Encouraging Word devotional. Sign up online at tewonline.org.